Okay, 1 Samuel chapter 4, and we're going to look at this whole chapter tonight, and the title of the message tonight, What You Do If Defeated. What You Do. Let's look there in 1 Samuel chapter 4, verse 1. And the Bible says, and the word of Samuel came to all Israel. Now Israel went out against the Philistines to battle and pitched beside Ebenezer, and the Philistines pitched in Aphelet. And the Philistines put themselves in array against Israel, and when they joined battle, Israel was smitten before the Philistines, and they slew of the army of the in the field about 4,000 men. And when the people were come unto the camp, the elders of Israel said, Wherefore had the Lord smit us to this us today before the Philistines? Let us fetch the ark of the covenant of the Lord out of Silon unto us, that when it cometh among us, it may save us out of the land out of the hand of our enemies. And the messenger, look at verse 17, jump to verse 17. And the messenger answered and said, Israel is fled before the Philistines, and there had been also great slaughter among the people. And thy two sons, Aphni and Phinehas, are dead, and the ark of God is taken. And it came to pass, when he made mention of the ark of God, that he fell from off the seat backwards by the side of the gate, and his neck brake, and he died, for he was an old man and heavy, and he had judged Israel 40 years. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this passage of Scripture. And Lord, we see this passage, and we say, why didn't you help Israel? Lord, they were living in total rebellion and disobedience towards you. And Lord, how many times we do the same as your children. Help us, Lord, in times of defeat, that we can look up to you, to the God that can take care of us. Lord, I pray tonight, if there's someone watching us on social media and never received Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, may they call upon you for salvation tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So many people live any way they want, or the way they want, and yet when a trial or a tragedy comes their way, they wonder and say, even say, where is God? They ask the question, where is God? You ever see people do that? They live the way they want. And some Christians do that too. They live the way they want. They do what they want. They practice all the sin that they want. And when the consequences come or the pain arrive, they even have the audacity to say, where is God? Well, the children of Israel did the same thing. We remember, this is the time of the judges here. And what happens is they're doing what they want. They're living the way they want, but they don't like the oppression. They don't like the results of sin. And right here, even, they're taking the Ark of the Covenant to battle. You see, they don't want God. But when they're losing, when the life is tough, now they go grab God out of somewhere so that God can help them. So that's the problem of a lot of people. They only have the Lord. They only need the Lord for the occasions. When they need it, they take them out of the shoebox and say, Lord, we need you right now. It's exactly what they're doing here. But we have to understand, sin always brings consequences. It doesn't matter what sin it is. It might take years, it might take a week, it might take months, but I tell you what, one sin brings us or shows his ugly head, so to speak, it brings forth problems and repercussions, and we reap the consequences. Every action has consequences. Every action that we have consequences. And we see the children of Israel right here. Why so much defeat? When did it? If you look back, the children of Israel were the covenant people. God promised to take care of them. But listen, we should not stop there. God promised to take care of them if they were. They obey and follow God's laws. See, they wanted obedience. They wanted blessings without obedience. They wanted blessings without obeying God's laws. It's the same thing today. If we fast forward to 2021, the same thing. We want God's blessings, but we don't want to live the way he tells us to live. And we have the audacity to say, we don't live under the law any longer. We live under grace. Well, be careful, don't use the grace to sin. Some people use the grace and say, I can do what I want to do. And yeah, you can do what you want to do, but you also reap the consequences of it. But don't blame God. That's what I'm trying to say. You see, people come to do, where is God? The fact is, sin still separates us from God and deprives us of his presence and power. I would suppose that every Christian who has, at one point in their life, found themselves frustrated and discouraged by trials, and silently, probably in his own mind, he would say, where is God? I mean, listen, there are times in our lives that we suffer because of the sin of others or oppression of others, and sometimes we go through illness and all kinds of things, and sometimes we get discouraged and we say, Lord, where are you? Ever been there? Lord, where are you? I need you. You've been there? I've been there. But there are times where is the fruit of our own sin, and we have the audacity, like I said, to ask, where's God? Children of Israel is doing that right here. In reality, it isn't hard to understand how Christians who love the Lord and honestly seek to live for him could occasionally ask such a question, and we all of us do in one way or the other. However, what is rather difficult is to understand is how those who all practical purpose have brushed God aside, seemingly with no intentions to live for him, could have the audacity in the midst of a series of tragic events to ask, where is God? Where is God when we need him? Isn't that what the world says? Where is God in the midst of all this chaos? Where is God? Well, we Christians should know that where God is because we are his children. See, some Christians, they have lived their lives with only thinking about themselves, and when things get hard, they have the audacity to say, where is God? So the children of Israel is doing this right here. They're worshiping the pagan gods of their neighbors. They're doing what they wanted to do. Now, when they are oppressed by the enemy, where is God? Now, let's look at this from several points tonight. Number one, I see this in this passage right here. We see the great conflict. We see this from verse 1 to verse 3. Well, I already read these verses. But we see here, actually in verse 3, verse 2 says, and the Philistines put themselves in array. I mean, again, and they were wanted to go to war at Israel, against Israel. And when they joined battle, Israel was smitten before the Philistines, and they slew of the army of the field about 4,000 men. Like, that is a lot of people. See, they went to battle, and 4,000 men lost their lives. And look what it says in verse 3. And when the people were coming to the camp, the elders of Israel said, wherefore had the Lord smitten us today before the Philistines? Let us flesh the Ark of the Covenant. Be careful. Right here, they're bringing the Ark of the Covenant to battle. They didn't bring the God of the Ark to battle. They bring the Ark to battle. We need to be careful with that. So, our series right here starts with the life of Samuel, but something strange happens in the next few chapters here of Samuel chapter 1. Samuel literally disappears of the story right here. We don't hear of Samuel. We see him in verse 1 of chapter 4, but he does not show up again until chapter 7, verse 3. So what's happening right here? Well, we already know that the priesthood was in rebellious against God, and this time, but we find out in chapter 7 that it was a time when the people of Israel was also in rebellion. We can see the priesthood was in rebellion against God, so was the people. They knew Samuel was a prophet, but they didn't need Samuel at all. So letter A, we see there the enemy, verse 2. The sooner does God begin to reveal his word to his people, then the enemy shows up to attack them. Let me tell you, the sooner a person gets saved, becomes a child of God, the sooner the enemy shows up on the scene. And let me tell you something right here. We have to be, as Christians, we have to be so sensitive to new Christians when they get saved. You know why? Because they're so vulnerable to the attacks of the devil, to false teachings. They're so vulnerable because they're so open, and that's when it's dangerous. They can begin to learn the wrong things. We have to always be careful with them. So right here, as soon the people begin to look at God, guess what? The enemy comes in. So in the book of 1 Samuel, the Philistines are mentioned over 150 times. This is a vicious enemy. So the Philistines were originally a sea-going people from the Asian region, invaded the territory along the Mediterranean coast of Phoenicia. So the Philistines sought to control all the land we know today as Palestine. The Philistines were very distressed when Israel conquered the promised land and many times tempted to drive them out. It is likely that this particular battle was Israel's response to one of those Philistines' invasion. So now, in this initial confrontation, the Philistines defeated Israel, and like I said, 4,000 soldiers were killed. And the elders of Israel were perplexed over this defeat. Wasn't Israel God's chosen nation? They're perplexed, like, we are God's people. How are we losing the battle? It's very simple. Rebellion and disobedience. God told them that. If the elders had rebelled, the terms of God's God's covenant, they would realize that this shameful defeat was caused by Israel's disobedience to God's law. Let me give you an example. In the book of Joshua, Joshua sent a few men to go to the town of Ai. What happened there? They got defeated. Why? There was sin in the camp. And Joshua went to the Lord and prayed, Lord, how could you do? We just went over the Jordan. We have so much victory. Why you allow us to get defeated? Sin. And the Lord told him, sin in the camp. Well, right here is the same thing. There's all kinds of sin here. But they think, well, we, the people of God, how could we experience? So they were perplexed. See, how many Christians, they got perplexed. They're saying, well, how could this happen to me? I'm a Christian. I go to church. I do this. How could this happen to me? Well, sometimes, you know, we have to search our hearts and see where we are. Is our walk right with the Lord? So the Lord was clearly told them how to fight their wars, according to Deuteronomy chapter 20. And actually, God's covenant, they realized that this shameful defeat was caused by Israel's disobedience to the law. And you see this in Leviticus chapter 26, verse 39, and Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 27. So instead of searching their hearts and confessing their sin, the people decided to imitate Moses and Joshua and take the Ark of the Covenant into battle with them. This people made plans to take the Ark of God and now the God of the Ark to the battlefield with them. Listen, it's happened the same thing with us. When we go, listen, you and I, when we get out of bed in the morning, we go to war every day. You say, really? Yes. The enemy is sitting right outside your house. He's ready for battle. You actually, three of them. One who's already sleeping with you is your flesh. And the next one is the devil. The next one is the world. You see, we go to battle every day. What we need to take with us is God. We need to take the Lord with us to battle. Don't try to fight the battles by yourself. You won't win. Do you ever came to the Sunday morning, you come to church and you feel like you have a load of stuff and you feel like defeated because you went to battle alone? See, unlike Moses and Joshua, they didn't seek the will of the Lord. They weren't walking by faith and they certainly weren't seeking the glory of God. Even worse, the two wicked priests, Hophni and Phinehas, would be carrying the holy ark of God. And this is the priest that were directly defying. They were doing all kinds of wicked things before the Lord. And God had said that he's going to judge them. How could God bless to send for men whom he had already considered judgment on them? If you ever read the Old Testament or even see the we'll go back. If you ever read the Old Testament, you talk about and looking about the Ark of the Covenant. So the Ark was a wooden chest overlaid with gold, was contained the golden jar of manna and Aaron's staff that had budded, and the stone tablets with the Ten Commandments. Its cover was made of pure gold and two cherubim hammered out of the gold on the top. But this was more than just a chest. This was the visible symbol of God's presence among the Israelites. So for the Israelites to lose the ark, it was something that was very hard for them. But let me tell you this. Here's one thing. They took the ark. They forgot God. You know why we Christians experience defeat many times in our lives? we forget to take God with us. We can take everything else, but we forgot to take God with us. He has to be part of everything we do. Part of everything we do. And they forgot God. They were asking, where's God? Where's God in the middle of this? Let me give you a story. There was a story of two brothers, aged 8 and 10, who were getting in a lot of trouble. Their mother brought them to see their pastor so they could see if he could straighten them up. So the pastor took the younger one and to his office and looked at him and said, listen, answer me this question. Where is God? And the kid didn't say anything. Then the pastor goes again, please answer the question, where is God? And the kid didn't say anything again. Then the pastor's voice got a little louder and said, young man, answer me, where is God? And there the boy leaped out of the seat, ran out of this office, and his brother ran behind him and said to him, what's the matter? To which the younger brother replied, where's the big trouble? We're in big trouble. God is missing. And they think we did it. Is God missing in your life? Well, these religious folks right that back then, they had the Ark of the Covenant, but they were missing God. If religion is supposed to bring us closer to God, then how is possible to lose God in religion? It's very possible if this incident, 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 4, shows us how it happened to the Israelites and how it can happen to us today. So number one, we see the great conflict. There's a conflict here between the children of Israel and the Philistines. There's another conflict here. It's between God and obeying him and sin. I tell you what, the conflict of sin is with us every day. We either choose to follow God or choose to follow the paths of sin. So number one, we see the great conflict. Number two, we see emphasizing ritual over relationship. We see emphasizing ritual over relationship. How can you lose God in religion? We're going to look at the Ark of the Covenant right here. We're going to talk about the Lord right here. And you're going to see how these guys begin to be more religious than following God, which is the living God. We have to be careful as well that we as Christians, we don't become religious and we forget a relationship that we have with the Lord. All right? So, first of all, you can lose God in religion by emphasizing ritual over relationship. And it's very, very, at its very heart, Christianity is not a ritual, but rather a relationship with God. God created us to know him and to live in a relationship with him. We sin and broke that relationship. God sent his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and so that relationship could be restored. Christianity is all about living in relationship with God, with the God who created you, of course. And when you emphasize ritual over relationship, you can actually lose God in religion. So now, that does not mean that all rituals are bad, that some rituals are good. I mean, we have some rituals in our church. They're good, yes. But we have to be careful that we don't turn ritual into something that is away from God. We can turn music into a ritual. We can turn all kinds of things. And listen, we're not pleasing God when we're doing that. So, Daniel outlined, a ritual is simply a repeated pattern. We repeat it and repeat it, and we lose focus on what we're doing. We're just doing because of. So anytime we sing the same worship song a second time, we have engaged in some kind of a ritual. Anytime we close our prayers with the words in Jesus' name, we have participated in some ritual. I'm not saying they're bad, which we have to be careful when we pray and we say, in Jesus' name, mean what you say. Not just saying for the sake of saying. Then becomes a ritual, but it's something that you just do. So the question is, do we just repeat the pattern without regard for God? Anytime we take the form of a religion and separate them from God, we are emphasizing ritual over relationship. So let's look at some of the ways that Israel lost God by emphasizing ritual over relationship. Letter A, depending on human wisdom rather than God's word. First of all, they depend on human wisdom rather than God's word. Look at verse 3. or verse 1 to verse 3, but look at verse 3 right there. It says, and when the people were come into the camp, the elders of Israel said, wherefore had the Lord smitten us today before the Philistine? Look what it says. Let us fetch the ark of the covenant of the Lord out of Silon unto us. Look, they knew that God, look what it says right here in the verse. It says, the elders of Israel said, wherefore had the Lord smitten us today before the Philistines? They literally said, the Lord allow us to suffer this loss. Now, instead of taking God or repent of what we do, let's take the Ark of the Covenant into battle. You see, they're substituting God for something that is made by the hands of man. You follow that? They say, well, Joshua and Moses did it, so I think we can do it. See, they're putting God aside and going to the rituals. We need to be careful with that in the church, that we don't do the same thing. Here's the picture. The Israelites and the Philistines both set up their respective camps. The troops move out to meet in battle, and Israel is soundly defeated by the Philistines. 4,000 Israelites died in that battlefield. Israel lost 4,000 men in one day. That's pretty crushing defeat right there. You should think if you were Israel, you would perhaps go back and talk to God about it. You see, many times through the Bible, we see when there's defeat in Israel, even the kings, they go to God and they ask. You know, the Bible says they put ashes there. They rip their clothes and they go to the Lord and ask the Lord for guidance and they pray. These guys are not doing that. They're putting God on the side and they bring the Ark of the Covenant. Like the Ark of the Covenant is more powerful than God. See, whenever you depend on human wisdom rather than God's word, you are emphasizing ritual over relationship. A relationship is built one-on-one, communication and trust. That's a relationship. A relationship that don't have communication and trust is not a relationship. Actually, it's a broken relationship. All right, so if we don't communicate with God, and if you don't trust His word and trust who He is, guess what? We have a broken communication with God. Look at what the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. You might want to write these verses down. Proverbs 3, verse 5 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not into thy own understanding. Look what it says, in all thy ways acknowledge Him and He shall direct thy paths. The Bible is clear, and it's clear to the children of Israel as well. The Bible says, trust in the Lord with what? Not just say trust, but trust in the Lord with all your heart. Listen, same thing for us today. We are called to trust the Lord in everything we do. We trust the Lord with our homes, trust the Lord with our health, trust the Lord with our jobs, we trust the Lord with our food, trust the Lord with everything. God says, trust me. And I think if the children of Israel went back and pray and ask God forgiveness and repent of their sin, God would give them victory in that battle. But the reason why they had so much defeat is because of their sin. You know, there are many Christians in our world. They live from defeat to defeat to defeat to defeat. And they got discouraged and they blame God for it. But this because of their own attitude and actions. Their first priority is not God. Their first love is not God, is themselves. Then Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. What is the commandments of Jesus? What did he say for us to do? To love God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and your neighbor as well, yourself. So, if Jesus said, if you love me, and we say, oh, I love Jesus. I love Jesus. Well, if you love Jesus, then you obey what he says in his word. And if we obey what he says in his word, God becomes what? Our number one priority. God first above everything. You see, Israel didn't do that. They relied on human wisdom rather than God's word. Folks, that's the problem of many Christians. Instead of relying on God's word and do what God says, they use their own wisdom and the wisdom of others to try to resolve their problems of life. How many Christians go? Guess somebody's opinion. Well, listen, it's wonderful, don't misunderstand me here, to go to a brother and sister or someone they can trust and talk and have some counseling. It actually is wisdom, okay? But before we do that, we should go first to the Lord. And the Lord will put in our hearts the person we need to go to. You follow that? We shouldn't go to the person first and go to God last. No, we go to the Lord first, and I believe they go to lay somebody in your heart for the help that you need. Well, the children of Israel, guess what? They went talking amongst each other. Where's God? God's out of the picture. You wonder why they were defeated? So let it be on this manipulate God for our own purpose. We see this in verse 3. And when the people were coming to the camp, the elders of Israel said, wherefore God had smitten us. They were blaming God for the defeat. Look at that, smitten us before the Philistines. Let us fetch the ark of the covenant of the Lord out of Shiloh unto us, that when it cometh among us, it may save us out of the hand of the enemies. No, they're so consumed right here. They're so sure right here that taking the ark of the covenant to battle, they were going to have victory over the enemies. They want to give up on God. You ever been there? Give up on totally on God? So what's the elders' plan right here? They basically said, let us bring the ark unto battle with us. Then God will have to give us victory. They didn't consult Samuel, which is the man of God, right? He was the prophet. He was there. They didn't seek God. Instead, they were trying to manipulate God in giving them the victory by bringing the ark unto battle. Let me put it this way. Have you ever tried to manipulate God? Do you ever play a game with the Lord? Let me give you something right here, maybe. have you ever tried to strike a bargain with God of the universe? You know, Lord, if you do this for me, I do that for you. Do you ever been there? We usually do it this way. God, if you will do such and such for me, then I will do this for you. God, if you give me this job, I promise you, I'll be in church every Sunday. Lord, if you do this for me, I'll be the most faithful Christian. Lord, if you do this for me, I will tithe every week. Play a bargain with God. You ever been there? Many Christians do that. You know, like God, the Lord look. You know, the Lord is so wonderful and merciful and compassionate. He looks at us and goes, silly children. Because when we bargain with them, guess what? We're looking for our needs to be met, and we really don't think about what we're saying. And guess what? Our promise are empty words many times. Very few promise that. Very few mean what they say, and they follow true on what they say. The sad and truthful thing is that when we try to manipulate God, we lose Him in the process. Because if it doesn't happen the way we want, we say, Lord, I told you, I asked you, and you didn't give it to me. You don't love me. Guess what? No, we try to manipulate Him. We think we can outsmart God. We cannot. He's a lot smarter than us. He's been around longer than us. You see, but we do that. We try to do that. Lord, if you do this for me, I do that for you. I do this. No, listen, this is what we got to do. Lord, no matter what, I will serve you. Lord, no matter what, you be my number one in my life. Lord, I have this need and this need and this need. Lord, you know my needs. You know the desires of my heart. If you wanted this thing to come to pass, Lord, so be it. But if it doesn't, I still serve you. I still love you. Because you say in your word, if you love me, keep my commandments. We should not serve the Lord because of the Lord doing something for us. We don't deserve anything. So we should serve the Lord because that's what we want to do, because He is worthy of what we do. Not because we want to manipulate Him to do what we want Him to do. No. It should never be like that. I met a Christian one time. I met many Christians like that, but this particular one. Hey, why don't you go to church anymore? You know? I'm just tired of praying and praying and praying and ask God for this thing and this thing and this thing, and He never gave it to me. He doesn't love me. Why go to church anyway? You see the condition of that heart? That heart is manipulating God to give Him what He wants. He said, if you give me that, then I do that for you. But if you don't give me this stuff, why am I going to church for? Where's the love there? You see that? What drives us to church? Religion or love? What drives us to church? I mean, I had the question to you, what drives you to church? Religion or love? I tell you what, this is my own testimony. I go to church because I love Jesus. And I go to church because I love to teach about Jesus. And I love to encourage others to live for Jesus. If it was not that, it just becomes just religion. So manipulation is a big deal. Oh, goodness, that happens in many marriages, in many work sites, in many places. People have that way of manipulating people. Oh, it's good manipulators out there. I think all of us know at least one, right? So let us see. We see focusing on religion rather than God. Let us see. We see this on verse 3. So a third thing Israel did was focusing on religion rather than God. Notice how the Israelites are depending on it rather than he. They do not say, let us bring the ark of the Lord so that it may go with us and so that he may save us from the enemies. No, they say, let us bring the ark so it may save us from the hand of our enemies. They took God out of the equation. It's like, you know, the Ark of the Covenant is more powerful than God himself. Who's the God of the Ark? The Ark was supposed to be a visible symbol of God's presence among Israel, among his people, but it was never meant to be a substitute for God himself. Look what it says in Deuteronomy chapter 20, verse 4. For the Lord your God is he that goeth with you to fight for you against your enemies to save you. See, the Lord said to them, "The Lord, I'm the Lord your God. I'm the one who go before you to fight the battles for you. Not my symbols, not the things that you think will fight for you." Same thing with me and you today. You go to battle with us is the Lord. The battle is the Lord. You know what the Bible says? Vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. So why we try to get even with people and go fight battles? God said, I'll take care of them. Don't worry. Just keep on go serving me. I'll take care of them. You know, many of us don't believe that. It takes faith to believe that God would take care of those people. God loves you. Listen, let me put it this way. God loves you, and God wants the best for you. And the Lord will fight our battles as long as we are faithful to him. And when somebody, whatever, or rude or unkind or mean or evil towards us, we give it to the Lord. Guess what? The Lord will take care of them. It might not be in the next moment or minute from now, because we want this down. Zip, boom, dead. We don't want that. It don't happen that way. But we have to trust the Lord. See, Daniel outlined, focus on religion, objects, instead of gods, is superstition at best and idolatry at worst. This is the mistake the Israelites made with the ark. They should have known better. The very name of the ark implies relationship. It was called the Ark of the Covenant as a reminder of God's covenant relationship with Israel. Focusing on religion objects rather than God is another way we emphasize ritual over relationships. Listen, we don't have statues in this church. We could have a ton of them. But we don't. Because it becomes a religious thing. People begin to look at the statue, go, oh, this reminds me. And before you know, they begin to worship the statue. No. So this is a mistake of the Israelites made with the ark. So in the letter D, we see expecting God's blessing without repentance. That is the problem of so many Christians today. They want the blessings of the Lord, but they don't want to change their sinful ways of life. That's the problem of so many people. They want God. I mean, everybody wants blessings, doesn't it? Everybody wants to be blessed. Listen, you can even say, oh, I don't like gifts. I don't want gifts. At Christmas time, people say, I don't want gifts. I have everything I need. But it is always nice to open a gift, isn't it? It makes you feel good. Even though if you have it already, it makes you feel good. Somebody thought of you. Somebody had that you in mind to buy you a gift. It makes you feel good and warm inside. Of course it does. So, but let me tell you this way. Everybody wants blessings. But there are Christians, I'm not talking about the lost, right? I'm talking about Christians who want to live the way they want to live and rebellious against God. They say with their lips they love Jesus, but they don't with their heart and their actions. But they wanted the blessings of God. No, you can't have both, folks. God rewards those who live for Him and live in obedience to Him. So in order for us to receive the Lord's blessing in our lives, we must keep short accounts with the Lord by confessing all our wrongdoing to Him. It's not generalizing. Listen, I was encouraged. Don't generalize your wrong. Oh, Lord, I'm sorry. I sinned against you today. Oh, God is very impressed with that. Oh, He is. He's really impressed with that. And when He reminds you of what you have done, I go, oh, yeah, Lord, forgive me of that. No, Lord, forgive me for doing this and doing this and doing this. You know, we have to repent, and the Lord has to know that from a heart of honesty. And guess what? He will bless you for that. How many times we, even with my children, they did something wrong and we were talking with each other. I already knew what they did. I want them to confess it, to say, I'm sorry, Dad, I did this and I did this. Why? Because they need to know what they did that is wrong so they don't do it again. The more we generalize sin, folks, the more we do it because we don't really think about it. If we have the habit of lying, we go, oh, Lord, forgive me of my sin. Oh, we have to mention to the Lord, Lord, forgive me for lying to this person and to this person. Forgive me about this lie that I said. Guess what? The more we think about it, the less we will do it. So in order for us to receive, like I said, the Lord's blessing in our lives, we must keep short accounts with the Lord by confessing all our wrong to Him. So Eli's two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, were there with the Ark of the Covenant of God. When the Ark of God's Covenant came into the camp, all Israelites raised up such a great shout that the ground shook. Look at verse 4. And the people sent to Shiloh that they might bring forth from thence the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of Hosts, which dwelleth between the cherubims, and the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were there with the Ark of the Covenant. And when the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord came unto the camp, all Israelites shouted with a great shout, so that the earth rang again. See, we see this. These two guys right there, two priests, that shouldn't be there. Why? Because they were doing all kinds of wickedness. So the first line is a very telling here. Eli's two sons, like I said, Hophni and Phinehas with the ark right here. As you may recall, Hophni and Phinehas were the two sons who were abusing the priesthood. They were stealing from the offering, and they were sleeping with the woman at the temple. And all Israel knew about it. They all knew about their sin. But they were carrying the ark of the Lord. They should have torn their cloths and poured dust in their heads. Instead, they were raised up a great shout of celebration. Listen, that defeat of Israel should be a wake-up call for all the children of Israel, all the priesthood, to go before the Lord and ask forgiveness. But they did not. Repent for sin is critical to maintain fellowship with the Lord. You can't hold on to your sin and have a relationship with God at the same time. Let me repeat that. You can't hold onto your sin and have a relationship with God at the same time. You can't. Go see what happened to David. For a long time he tried to hide his sin until the man of God came to him and confronted him, and we can tell that he was miserable over that sin. You cannot expect God's blessings without repentance. Once again, the Christian religion is full of forms of rituals. They are high churches and low church or churches, liturgy and non-liturgy churches. But let me tell you, none of these are bad in of themselves. But anytime we emphasize ritual over relationship, we risk losing God in religion, just like Israel did. Even here, we have to be careful how we do and the way we do. I like to mix things up. Even in our service, you know why? So does it become a ritual? We get up, we sing, we sit down. We get up, we sing, we sit down. Then we pray. Then we have the offering. Then we have the special. Then we have the message. Then we all go home. And the next day we do it again. Next Sunday we do it again. It becomes a ritual. I like to mix it up so keep people excited and keep people anticipating what's going to happen so we can praise the Lord. Otherwise, it becomes a ritual. Sometimes I have the order of service here and I don't even follow the order of service. You know what? It's not a big deal. It's just, you know, we just follow up. But sometimes they look at me from the sound room. Listen, it's not a ritual. Do, let's go home. That's the way it should be. Otherwise, we have to put it like this. Is God impressed? No, he's not. So number one, we see the great conflict. Number two, emphasizing ritual over relationship. Number three, losing sight of God. We see this from verse 6 to verse 9. We use the example of Israelites to learn about losing God within true religion. Now, we will use the example of the Philistines to learn about losing God by following a false religion. So how can you lose God by following a false religion? Letter A. Now, recognizing the one true God. We see this in verse 6 and verse 7. Look what it says. And the Philistines heard the noise of the shout. They said, "What meaneth the noise of this great shout in the camp of the Hebrews?" And they understood that the ark of the Lord was coming to the camp. And look what it says in verse 7. And the Philistines were afraid, for they said, "God is coming to the camp." And they said, "Woe unto us, for there had not been such a thing here therefore." So when the Philistines heard of the wooing and shouting going on to the Israelites' camp, they checked to find out what was going on. When they heard of it was because of the ark, they were afraid. But notice that they said about the ark, "A God has come into the camp." Look what it says. We see the verse right here. It says, "And when the Philistines heard the voice of the shouting, and they understood that the ark of the Lord was coming to the camp. The Philistines were afraid, for they said, 'God is coming to the camp.'" See right there? And they said, "Woe unto us." You see, when they heard of it was because the ark, they were afraid, like I said, but they noticed they said about the ark, "A God had come into the camp." The Philistines did not recognize the God of the Israelites at the one was the one true God. The Philistines believe in many gods, so they saw the Israelite God as just another God of many other gods. There are many religions in the world today, but Christianity recognizes the one true God. For example, Hinduism does not recognize the one true God of the Bible. Another one, Buddhism, does not recognize the one true God. There are religions of the world. Paganism does not recognize the one true God. You might ask, how about Islam and Judaism? Don't they worship the same God who is revealed in the Bible? Yes and no. Both Islam and Judaism recognize the God of the Israelites from the Old Testament, but they don't recognize the full revelation that God has given of himself through Jesus Christ. That's why they call Jesus just a good man, a good teacher. They don't recognize Jesus as God revealed in the flesh. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews chapter 1:1, "For God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets." So apart from Jesus, no, is no access to God. How important is for us to believe in Jesus? Very important. It is essential. The one true God is a Trinity. It is a Father and Son and the Holy Spirit. And those who do not acknowledge Jesus as Lord do not recognize the one true God. They lose God by following false religions. Listen, the Jewish people need to understand that Jesus Christ is their Messiah. He's the one that was promised through the Old Testament. And the world needs to understand that Jesus is not just a good teacher or a prophet. He is God revealed in the flesh. So let it be, we see, holding on to misinformation. A second way you can lose God by following a false religion is by holding to misinformation. Look at verse 8. "Woe unto us, who shall deliver us out of the hand of these mighty gods." Look what it says. "These are the gods that smote the Egyptian with all the plagues in the wilderness." Now they go from singular to plural. You see what it says? It says right here. And let me tell you this. How people, even Christians, get misled. They get misled by misinformation. Let me tell you. Okay. There are some grandmothers out there. They never went to a college they never went to a college or a Bible college. They never studied the Bible in a college atmosphere, but they know the Bible very, very well. Okay? They understand their Bible, and no one's going to turn their head upside down. No one will, because they know what they believe. When we begin to now reading our Bible and try to understand what the Bible says, because you got everything you need right here in the Bible, you begin to listen to some folks out there. And if you're not grounded in your faith, guess what's going to happen? You have misinformation, and they're going to turn your head upside down. It happens all the time. It happens all the time. Let me put it this way. Be careful what you watch on TV. Be careful what you search on the website, the web, because there is something for everybody there. Everybody wants to put truth out there. Listen, when you listen to those people, watch those people, filter them with the Word of God. Otherwise, they're going to give you misinformation, and that's what's going to happen. They're going to mislead you. Here's a Christian that said to me, "Oh, God help those who help themselves." Really? Give me a chapter, Bible, and verse on that one. It's not in the Bible at all. But some people make those big things like that. So the Philistines knew something about Israel's God. They knew that Israel God was a mighty God. They knew that he had defeated the Egyptians, but he also had a lot of misinformation. And that's the problem of a lot of people in our days. They talk about the Bible, they say things about the Bible, but they have no clue what the Bible teaches. And they have the audacity to say, "Oh, it's a lot of mistakes in the Bible. Oh, you show me one. You show me one." One time I was in the Providence Rescue Mission, and it was a wonderful day. About 14 people got saved that day. It was a blessing. And everybody went to the cafeteria to eat. This guy comes about me and says, "Oh, I know you're a Bible preacher. I want to tell you something. There's something in the Bible that I don't agree because it's wrong. It contradicts itself." I said, "What's the passage?" And he's opens up and he goes, I look at him, I'm like, "Really?" I mean, that is pretty easy to understand. And I give an explanation of what the Bible says right there. He goes, "Oh, nobody ever told me this way." I said, "Read it. It's right there in front of your eyes." We have to be careful with that. We live in a world today with so much information. But be careful, because a lot of information is wrong information. You have your Bible. Read your Bible. Sometimes, I need some more than the Bible. Listen, outside of the Bible is people's opinions. You get that? You can buy the best commentaries, the best lessons you can buy, the best things you can buy, the best books, and they mislead you. Listen, you're nothing wrong. Listen, if you have a library and the only book in the library is your Bible, you're doing good. Believe me. That's the only book you need, because, listen, I know many good people that love the Lord, and you read through the books that they write, and you go, "Oh, I don't agree with that one." Because you know what? We make mistakes with humans. Stick with your Bible. Let us see, believing you can fight against God and win. There's a third way one can lose God by following a false religion, and is by believing you can fight against God and win the battle. Let's look at the Philistines against here in verse 9. "Be strong and quiet, and quit yourselves like men, O ye Philistines, that ye be not servants into the Hebrews as they have been unto you. Quit yourselves like men and fight." And the Philistines fought, and Israel was smitten, and they fled away, every man unto their tents, and they were very great slaughter, for there fell an Israelite 30,000 footmen. And the ark of the God was taken, and the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were slain. Judgment of God was right there. So the Philistines thought that if they just fought hard enough, they could beat the God of the universe. Ironically, they did defeat the Israelites, but they did not capture the ark. But trust me, they did not defeat God. In the next chapter, next lesson, we're going to see God began to defeat them. Who in the world think that they can defeat God? There's some folks out there think that God is powerless and small, and they can just squish God with their hands. Or the Philistines throwing out there. You know, they defeat the Israelites. They took the Ark of God into their own land, and they didn't know what they were doing. God was watching all that. God let them win that battle. It was no contest. It's like when your kids are 4 years old and you let them beat you at arm wrestling just because you feel bad for them. Ever been there? And you go, oh. That's what the Lord was doing to them. I said, am I going to show you my full power? Just wait a little bit. Number four, we see losing God. Losing God. So you see, it's true. One really can lose God in religion. You can lose him by emphasizing ritual over relationship. You can lose him by following a false religion. But there's one last thing our passage right here teaches us, is that that is nothing worse than losing God. Letter A, the taste of defeat and debt without God. Look what it says in verse 10 and verse 11. And the Philistines fought, and Israel was smitten, and they fled away unto his tent. And look what it says, and there was a great slaughter, for they fell of Israel 30,000 men. And the ark of God was taken, and the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were slain. And we know actually their father died as well. So the Jewish people took the ark of the covenant to battle, but forgot the God of the ark, and the result will happen. They were defeated. Listen, don't take religious symbols to your battles. Take God with you. Some people say, oh, I wear this necklace with this crucifix. Why? Oh, because, you know, that gives me the power because, you know, that's the cross. No. It doesn't give you anything. It's just an ornament. We need to take God with us to our battles. And we see here, when they come and tell Eli, and Eli, when he heard that, he falls back and he dies. So let it be, we see the hopelessness without God. The hopelessness without God. We see this in verse 19 and verse 20. You see, and it says, and his daughter-in-law, Phinehas' wife, was with child, near to be delivered. And when she heard of the tidings of the ark of God was taken, and that her father-in-law and her husband were dead, she bowed herself and travailed, for the pains came unto her. You see the hopelessness of this woman. When she heard of such defeat, she went into labor. You know, sometimes people get like that, so hopelessly lost. And let me tell you, can a Christian get like this? Can we Christians get so hopeless to come to a point that we have no hope even in God? Yes. The man of Israel were defeated in battle. The ark of the Lord was taken. Her husband died. Her father-in-law died. She's expecting a baby and she goes to labor right there. Can you imagine her pain? Why? When there's sin in the camp, God's not going to bless us. We have to search our hearts and see if it's sin in the camp. Is sin in our heart, in our hearts? Is sin in our, along our family? What about in God's house? Is sin in the camp? If it's there, God's not going to bless it. And God is showing right here a tremendous, tremendous story or a tremendous example to the children of Israel that you cannot have my blessings living in rebellious. God will not bless such a life and such people. As we close out this message tonight, let me ask you, do you have God in your life? Are you in a relationship with God, or are you losing God in religion? And let me tell you, I'm very, very cautious here in our church that what we do here on Wednesday nights, what we do on Sunday morning and Sunday night, don't become a ritual. Because if it becomes a ritual, we lose focus of who God is. It's good to change things around. It's good to do things. You know why? It keeps us off balance, because we need to remember He's the one who takes the glory. He's the God who takes the glory, not us. And then if it becomes a ritual, People began to sleep in the pews. People began to think what they're going to do as soon as the service is over because they got things to do. Their mind and their heart is not focused on what God says we should do. The Bible says, 1 Peter 3:18, "For Christ also had also suffered for sin, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened in the spirit." That is why Jesus came. And that's why we need to worship him. May we learn from the children of Israel here that we not have to live in defeat, but we don't have to go in a ways of religion, but always keep this relationship alive and bright and exciting. Listen, a relationship that is alive and exciting keeps growing. Look at between a father and a daughter, or a father and a son, or between a husband and a wife. Look at a relationship that keeps growing is always exciting. You want to be there with the people that you have a relationship with. Let me tell you, with the Lord Jesus, got to be the same thing. We shouldn't come to churches because I'm coming to church. We shouldn't come to, I have to be there. If you begin to think that way, it becomes a ritual. You drag yourself to church. Your heart is not into it. You follow that? It becomes a ritual rather than a relationship with God. Why do I go to church? Why do I dress up to go to church? Why do I dress clean? Why I'm driving my car a half an hour to get to church? Because I'm going there because I'm going to worship my Lord. You see, if we don't do that, it becomes a ritual. It becomes like any other religion out there. The children of Israel lost sight of God. And may we not lose sight of our God. May we always be excited, looking for him, and always ready to worship him. Participate. Be part of it. You say, I can't sing. Sing. I'm not the greatest singer either. Sing, worship, participate, be part of it. Because that's what the Lord wants. A genuine heart that loves him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, so much for the relationship that some of us have with you. And I just pray, Lord, if there's someone tonight, maybe on social media tonight, and never really call upon you for salvation, Lord, may they understand tonight that there's a big difference between religion, rituals, and a relationship with the God of the universe. I pray, Father, they will understand that tonight, that Jesus wants to have a relationship with them. May they call upon you for salvation tonight. And I pray for our people tonight, even those who are watching on social media. Lord, may they consider that we come to church because we love you and we want to worship you with other believers. In Jesus' name I pray.